definitely human.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Welcome to the International Worldwide Global Biscuit Review Podcast, the podcast for the pre-hope generation. I'm David Price.
And I'm David Knight. And this week, we're reviewing macarons.
Macarons.
Not macaroons.
Not macaroons.
Which is a different thing.
Different, yeah. Yeah, which I didn't realise. I thought it was just interchangeable. But yeah, the macarons.
Because I think you said macaroons in the credits of the last episode. So for all our new listeners who came here, the macaroon heads who came here, hoping to hear a review of macaroons specifically. Sorry about that. Hope you stick around.
I hope you stick around. If you do just want to tune out, you're not interested in any other biscuits other than macaroons, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Totally understandable. But if you could listen to this episode, maybe turn the volume down, but still have it play just so it shows on our...
Exactly,
the back end, it makes it look like more people are listening to it.
And if you're perhaps having a listening party where you've got maybe 10, 20, 30 people around to listen to an episode about macaroons, obviously you're not going to get that. If you perhaps just want to do something else instead, that's fine. I can suggest charades is a good one.
Well, I don't think you need to make suggestions of how other people might enjoy themselves. I'm sure they could probably work it out themselves.
I'm not sure, you know. You kind of stick a group of people together and quite often they're just like, they sheep and they don't really know what to do.
They're sheep.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a shepherd. yeah.
But your first sort of go-to activity was charades.
Well, you know, that's just the entry tier, you know?
Right.
You can work up from there. You can play a drinking game. You can play that Never Would I Ever game. Maybe you can just discuss your darkest secrets. I don't know, you know? Depends how well you know each other and how deep you want to get.
So we've got options.
You got, exactly. So there are multiple things there. And also, the great resource, if you really don't know what to do, call 999. They've got party suggestions, suggestions for games, all sorts. So.
Yeah, I'd be careful with that because, you know, we have a lot of fun here on the show.
We do.
And I love the 999 joke.
Yeah.
But it did slightly backfire, didn't it?
Yeah, there is a limit. They will recognize your voice after a while and they will stop responding. And if you do have an emergency situation, you might not get the help you need.
There's an old fable, isn't there, about a boy and a wolf that I think is pretty apt here.
The boy keeps calling the wolf to come and help him, but the wolf...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, the wolf keeps turning up and the boy's like, sorry, I was just messing with you.
So macarons.
That's what we're here to talk about. Yeah, and we'll be judging them on taste, texture, and dunkability, and biscuitness as well. Yeah.
Are they a biscuit?
Okay. Yep. As long as there are no follow-up questions, yes, they are. No, well, Wikipedia, the world's most accurate encyclopedia, refers to them as sandwich cookies, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Although I've got to say, if I was going to buy macarons in a supermarket, not necessarily would I go to the biscuit aisle.
What aisle would you go to?
Maybe like a little cake aisle or something?
Yeah, I've never seen them on the shelves.
Well, I mean, it's not, you're not going to get it in every supermarket because, you know, this is a high-end, you know, sandwich cookie / biscuit.
I have had macarons. You have to say, macaron. I have had macarons before.
Yeah,
but only at fancy events.
Well, that's the thing. Same here. The only time I've had them are at I can't even think what events. Like
fashion shows.
Yeah, fashion shows, yeah. Which weirdly we have been to, which you would not expect.
Which weirdly the both of us have been to lots of times, yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe I've had them at a wedding or something.
Mm-hmm.
That is that kind of occasion where someone's just trying to show off, trying to, you know, dazzle you with a bit of, you know, being like, you know, we've got the finer things in life here. Yeah. We're not serving you up, you know, hobnobs at our wedding.
Yeah.
We're serving you macarons.
I mean, maybe this is a bit of a spoiler, but I've never really enjoyed them.
Well, that is a massive spoiler, and I think you're prejudicing this whole process.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You've got to keep an open mind.
Yes, you're right. I do have to keep an open mind.
Because perhaps in the past, it was the setting, you know? I think we're going to have to use our imaginations a little bit. And I think we've got to imagine what this could be.
Okay.
Okay? Let's touch on the costumes. I think this all plays into...
Costumes.
Yeah,
your costume. Oh, right. You're wearing a costume.
Yours is very elaborate.
Am I? Oh, right. Well, this isn't actually for the show. So maybe we shouldn't talk about what I'm wearing.
Well,
I'm
not wearing this. I definitely are going to talk about what you're wearing.
But I'm not doing it for the show. Crazy. It's not related to this. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, so it's a bit like me when I dress as saints. And that is kind of like a reflection of my life as well, which just happens to tie in with the show.
Well, you insist, yeah, that it also ties in with the show.
Does.
This doesn't, what
it
I'm
doesn't.
Wearing.
Oh, okay.
No connection whatsoever.
Well, you've kind of got like a velvet cape, but I think it's polyester, I'm guessing. Not actual velvet, is it?
Well, no, obviously it's not actual
velvet.
No,
okay, right, okay, okay. You've got like a big fake beard as well. And kind of like leggings? Are they kind of like leggings? Yeah. Okay. And just noticing this now, surprised I didn't notice it first, a very big crown.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But it's not anything to do with the show. So maybe let's just breeze past it.
No, I think we need to talk about this because if it's not to do with the show and you're just wearing this, it's a bit worrying.
Well, okay. Just quickly, I'll explain.
Okay.
I'm going to a job interview.
To be king?
There's a new restaurant that's just opened up near me. It's called Burger King. Have you heard about this? Apparently there are other ones. There are other ones around as well.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I've seen one other. So this must be their second branch. That's exciting.
So yeah, I'm dressed for that. It's kind of like that old saying, dress for the job you want, not the job you've got. So I've dressed as the Burger King.
Okay. You still going to have enough time for this, though, yeah?
Well, we'll see, won't we? The main thing is that I do get this job. So that's the focus right now. And then whatever happens.
Well, but I am a bit concerned about your commitments, your other commitments to this, to the biscuit.
Well, I'm committed to doing this
good
episode.
Right. No, the series.
Yeah, this
we still have multiple episodes left to do.
Well, we'll see. You know, there's no hard and fast rule. That's the beauty of doing something like this, isn't it? You know?
Okay, when is the interview?
It's after this.
Straight after this.
So we'll record this. Why do you think I'm dressed up like this? I'm dressed up like this because right after this, I'm going straight to my interview.
Straight to interview right after this. Okay, yeah. Have you done much prep for it?
No. I don't have a lot of free time at the moment. Maybe we can do that after.
Yeah,
let's quickly get through this.
Yeah, okay.
And then
we'll do some prep. Yeah.
You can help me out.
Yeah, I'll help
like,
you, man.
Like how
I
always helped you out in the past.
Yeah, I'll help you, no problem.
And then I'll go and do this job interview, and fingers crossed, it all works out. And, you know, maybe new horizons, new opportunities.
Yeah. This is the Burger King.
Yeah. Well, the job is technically for restaurant crew member.
Yeah.
But this outfit shows what my ambitions are, and I think that's important.
Okay, good. All right. Well, again, it's that thing, you know, dressing for the job you want, not the job you've got, you know. They're like, okay, he wants, you know, he's coming in as a...
I'm coming for the crown.
Burger flipper, but, you know, he's clearly got sights on the crown.
People like that.
Okay.
You're committed.
Yeah.
You want to be a part of something, and you want to build within that, you know.
Would you be a benevolent Burger King?
I think it's important to have structure and rules, you know.
Which are enforced.
They have to be because, you know, the system, you know, it's not going to run itself.
No, no.
That's why you need someone at the top making the decisions.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, unfortunately, none of that was relevant to this episode. I guess just cut all that I just said.
Right, okay, fine.
Because this isn't a costume for biscuits.
I
don't know if you've noticed, I haven't really been doing costumes generally in the last few episodes, you know.
Well, you kind of did have a costume for the last episode, the American one.
Yeah, but that was more for America Day.
Oh, for America Day, right, yeah, okay,
That costume was for America Day.
Yeah. I suppose your last costume proper was probably the Mr. Uniform one, wasn't it?
Well, that wasn't a costume, though. I was just wearing a uniform, wasn't it?
Oh, right, okay. But that was for the show, though, wasn't it?
I guess it was, in a way, yeah.
Well, your costume, I think, even though there are other reasons for you wearing it, I think it ties into the show, and I think we should just, you know, lean into that.
Okay.
You know, because I similar thing, I'm kind of dressing for the job that I want, not the job that I've got.
You're dressing for the job you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so you see, this is a little bit different this week, because I know kind of I've worn similar costumes in the past, and then last episode was the... was the Jesus thing, which just for clarity, that's kind of behind me now.
Yeah. And you don't think that you are him?
No, there's some people who allegedly said that it was offensive for me to claim that I was the second coming. I explained to them, I'm not the second coming, I'm a second coming, okay?
Yeah. And they didn't...
No, they were still quite angry about right. that. I got cancelled, basically, for saying I was Jesus.
It's PC culture gone mad.
It is, exactly.
You can't even say you're Jesus anymore. Mm. If you actually took the time to look into it, you would, like, people would understand that you weren't saying you were the Jesus.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, kind of a version of...
I think your words were... Jesus rebooted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which in some ways kind of suggesting that you're actually better than Jesus.
It's not better, just appealing to a new generation.
Right, okay.
You know, Jesus for a new generation. Mm. I'm the Pepsi Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not, though. I've moved
but
on
you're
from
not.
That. Yeah, no, I do recognize I'm not probably Jesus.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you've stepped away from controversy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So who are you dressed as today then?
Well, on the kind of, I think the problem was, as we know, I'm on a journey.
Yeah, we do know that.
We've touched on once or twice. Trying to find my kind of my place in the world and what I am, what I can be, what I can achieve. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem with the Jesus thing, it wasn't an achievable goal. You know, there's no kind of career progression.
Right.
It's not like you start off as a church warden and then you work your way at the ladder and you become Jesus at the top. You don't get that promotion.
Unfortunately, no, that's not quite how it works. And also, I suppose his career sort of ended at 30, didn't it, really? Whereas you're kind of already way past that point. Way, way past that point.
Yeah. That is also a factor in it. So basically I've got a more kind of achievable,
okay.
Objective now. And as we said, dress for the job you want, not the job you've got. So I'm kind of dressed for that job because I think it just helps my mindset just to always be focused on, when I'm grinding daily, am I getting closer to that?
So this is something that you can build towards.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So yeah, can you guess?
I thought I knew. I do not.
No. Perhaps the hat, kind of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to make assumptions.
Got some jewels and stuff as well.
You do look like someone recognizable.
Yeah.
Very iconic.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I'd say iconic is definitely a word that I would use.
The tricky thing I'm having is it can't be that, though, from everything that we talked about. It can't be the thing that...
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll say what it is, and then perhaps you'll be like, oh, right, I get. Okay. So that's what you're going for. Mm-hmm. I'm the Pope.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it was that then. Okay.
Well,
so,
that's what you thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Well, perfect. Well, it's working already. You're kind of you're looking at me and being like, Pope.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your new achievable goal.
Well, it's more achievable than Jesus.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, I don't want to sabotage myself. So I don't want to say that I'm not going to become Pope.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that.
Right.
But it's that thing of aim for the stars, you might land on the moon.
Right.
Yeah, so I was going to be a pope, a specific pope, and just kind of model myself on him. But I think a bit all the great Star Wars IP, it's so hard to choose one. It's so hard to choose a favorite because they're all so good.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so I'm taking inspiration for a few. So there's most powerful pope, Pope Innocent III, 1161 to 1216.
What powers did he have?
Well, he was seen the most powerful time, and I think it's kind of the power of the church, and he was he had supremacy over all the kings. He convened the Fourth Lateran Council, which I don't need to tell you about.
No, we do not.
And also greatly expanded the scope of the Crusades as well.
Okay.
So, there's some things I can take from that in terms of ambition and councils, crusades. I can perhaps...
And there's not any kind of controversy around crusades or anything like that?
Not from what I read on that one page.
Okay, good.
The richest pope, maybe, Alexander VI, born Rodrigo de Borgia, pope from 1492 to 1503. And his foreign policy was focused on achieving the best outcome for his family. That's good, though, because even as Pope, family first. Also a bit of an entrepreneur, because he kind of bought his way into the papacy and then kind of sold positions as cardinals to people as well. So he kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit, which I respect. So those are kind of my two guardian lights, Innocent III and Alexander VI.
Your two North Stars.
Yeah, my two North Stars.
So you're not just shooting for Pope. Mm. You want to be the most powerful and richest Pope.
Yeah, or sort of, yeah, some combination. Maybe I could just be second most powerful and the richest, or maybe like third richest, but the most powerful.
Oh, so you're kind of humble as well.
Exactly, yeah, you know, because I think part of this journey is, you know, recognize my limitations.
Yeah.
And I might not become the most powerful and richest Pope.
Right.
But I could still be a pretty good Pope.
And why do you want to be Pope?
Just kind of the best, aren't you?
Okay.
You're basically CEO of Christianity. You know, obviously you've got lots of transferable skills from this.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, taking information in, quietly considering it, making a judgment, you know, Solomon-like.
It's interesting that we're both kind of going for managerial roles.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So you want to be managing the Burger King. I'm going to be Pope, so I will have supremacy over you. Awkward to say.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Didn't always pan out that way, did it?
But I think I can make some good pitches as well, because I think when you're going for a new role, a new organization, you know, they want someone who's going to like take it to the next level. They don't really want a continuity, you know. They're not like, oh yeah, I'm going to come in and we're going to talk about women bishops for the next 40 years again.
Yeah, so Christianity very big on new ideas, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they are, but I think some of the current or recent popes, I'm not going to name names.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've been poor selections. I think they've been, it's just been mediocre middle managers basically promoted above their stations.
And is it not considered poor form to sort of badmouth the previous popes?
Well, no, because they're not going to have a part in my promotion because, you know, they'll be dead.
Yeah, okay.
I'm appealing to the guys beneath them to say, you know, look, your boss, he's rubbish.
Right, we've made some
mistakes.
And everyone can
relate to that. And no one likes their boss, right?
That's true.
So this is kind of, you know, this is my kind of good strategic thinking in action, which I'll appreciate.
So your strategy is to go in and sort of say, these other popes sucked.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be different with me.
It's that, but you've got to go in like a big pitch where it just gets people like, whoa. Shit, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So my thing is, right, the Counter Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it again. Let's smash those Protestants.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you do need an opposition, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah, you do need an opposition. I guess like the church's main opposition is the devil, but you know, it's quite hard to pin down.
Yeah.
It's much easier when it's an act where it's people.
Yeah, like a good business is often propelled by its sort of competitive nature.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Like, who are we competing against, you know? The Protestants.
It does make sense, yeah.
We need to try and get a king back in France as well. So, I don't know, the Burger King. Perhaps when you become Burger King, if you can move your forces on France, perhaps coming up from the south, don't go over the Alps, go through Spain. Okay, you can probably gain some allies through Spain and then take your armies up through France.
It will feel nice to be at war with France again. It's been a while. It has been a while.
But just like, and I don't know whether you know this myth. So like Burger King, is he answer like a Catholic god or a Protestant god? Like, is he Reformation or is he, you know, OG Catholic?
That's going to be my first question at the interview.
Yeah.
So macarons.
Yeah, macarons.
Macarons.
Yeah. Again, it's probably that your mind is already there. Focus on Emmanuel Macron.
Right.
You know, I got to take his crown, which is good. I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah, well, I need to focus on the interview before all of that, right?
Right, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's the main
yeah.
thing, is that I get the job, right?
Exactly, yeah. But I think, you know, we are, you know, our thoughts here, we're kind of, you know, putting those out into the universe, kind of, you know, I think it's manifesting, cosmic ordering, it's that sort of thing.
Right.
Where
cosmic ordering.
Yeah.
The Noel Edmonds thing.
The Noel Edmonds thing, yeah, exactly. And, like, you look how well he's doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And we're on board with that? We like that?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, just checking. What, you think I'm going to come Pope without that?
And that works, does it, cosmic ordering?
Yeah, 100%.
Because it seems like... Well,
what?
I don't know. Some people might say it's the kind of thing that, like, you know, people are so desperate for their lives to have meaning and structure that they create fantasies to sort of take the edge off reality, you know?
Yeah, well, I think the flip side of that can be the people who are successfully cosmic ordering, they're so content, they don't have to brag about it.
Right.
It's probably a good chance that the reason we don't hear from Noel Edmonds these days is not because his career has gone down the toilet. It's because he's very content and he's got everything he wants and he's happy.
Right.
Thanks to cosmic ordering.
Okay.
So, yeah, so on to macarons.
Macarons.
Macarons. Okay, so, yeah, we've... So I've ordered them offline and they've come in this packaging with a big fragile tape around.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this entire time there's just been a box on the table with a big red fragile written on it.
It looks almost threatening, like, you know, if you break this, something bad's going to happen. Mm. But so we have the macarons. These are macarons de Pauline, fraise, pistache and citron. Don't know my French that well, but don't really need it as Pope Latin. I need to brush up on. You need to learn your French.
Right, okay.
So they're in a little macaron house with a big window.
Yeah, it's very cutesy. Twee.
Yeah, twee. I think twee is a good description.
It's got little words on it like ooh la la and mmm. And so little sketches of stars and hearts and some kind of tower. I don't know.
That's how it looks.
Some kind of triangle tower?
Oh, it's an electricity pylon.
Oh, okay.
I guess they're trying to communicate energy, power.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah.
And a woman in a black and white photo. I'm guessing she's either Macaron or Pauline.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I do wonder whether maybe she's a fabrication by this company.
It's sort of Mr. Kipling kind of situation.
Yeah, by Poppy's Bakeries from Belgium, who actually make these.
Oh, so it's not French.
No, I guess they speak. Do they speak French in part of Belgium? I
think. Yes.
Yeah. It's not really like a biscuit box, though, is it? It's like I would expect to get some Lego or something in there.
Yeah, it's almost like when you get like hamburgers and things made out of gummy.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know what I mean? Yeah.
That's what it looks like like mini hamburgers. Is that what they say? Hamburgers? Is that a thing? Hamburger?
Well, what do you think a hamburger is?
I don't know.
Okay, let's just role play this a bit. Mm. Okay, so imagine I'm one of the Council of Elders at Burger King, who are interviewing for the new Burger King. So yeah, just tell us what's the ideal hamburger to you?
Well, it's got to have ham.
Ham.
No.
What kind of ham?
The disc. The ham disc.
A ham disc?
Yes. You put the ham disc between the bread?
Yeah, what kind of bread?
Round bread.
Round bread, good.
You put the ham disc between the round bread.
The ham disc between the round bread, yeah. Sounds good so far.
Great.
Is that it? Is that the end of your burger?
No.
No, okay, no. Good. Okay. Right, more to come, good.
The green, put the green in and the red.
The green and the red.
The green and the red and the yellow. And there it is. That's a burger.
Wow, well done. Yeah, I think maybe you are cut out for the Burger King.
Oh, man. That was hard.
This is good preparation because, you know, you put in that work now, and when you get asked these really tough questions later, you'll just be like, that's fine, I've done this, you know, like training for a marathon or something.
You don't think it's a problem that I've never eaten meat?
No, I don't think so, because, like, you know, the Burger King doesn't need to be making the burgers himself, doesn't need to be eating the burgers necessarily, just needs to make sure that the structures and the power balance is all there so that the burgers can be made by the peasants.
Yeah, a doctor doesn't need to be ill to know how to treat an illness.
Excellent, excellent example.
A police person doesn't need to be a criminal to know how to deal with crime.
Helps, but yeah, very good example as well.
Farmer doesn't need to
be a cow.
Need to be a cow, exactly.
So know how to look after cows.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I see. You just hit them with those three, bang, 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 and they'll be like,
so no, okay. I have never eaten meat or know which animals contribute to which meats. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what ham, which one that is, but it doesn't matter.
You will empower the peasants in the Burger King.
Employees, we'd say employees.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just make sure you've got the power structure, you know, nice and clear. Okay, yeah. You know. Yeah. All right, then. Well, we try these little sugar burgers.
Yeah, this is great, actually. Like, I hadn't thought about that. Like, because obviously I'm going to this job interview for Burger King, and it's like we're eating little sugar burgers.
Yeah.
Weird how that... Do you think... Is that cosmic ordering?
I think so. This is it. This is all kind of coming together. Yeah.
You don't think it's just like humans are hardwired to look for patterns, and they have confirmation bias, and are predisposed to believe anything that makes them feel special and important?
No, that's what the unsuccessful losers will say.
Right. Okay,
because they're not getting what they want, and they just, you know, they won't get on board with the cosmic ordering, so they just try and explain it away, so don't listen to them.
Right. Putting your nose in the box.
Yeah, it's a very sweet smell, but almost like a putrid sweetness, like decay. I was just gonna check out if these were meant to be stored in a fridge or something. So keep cool and dry, so
sweet.
You know, no, they haven't been very cool, but they have been dry. So do you want to pick a flavor?
So I've got three options. Yellow, green, pink.
Yeah,
I guess I'll go for pink.
Okay. I'm gonna go for pink as well then.
Yeah, it makes sense. It'd be weird if we went with different flavors. Yeah. We need to compare notes.
Yeah, so there's kind of these two, I think they're like almond meringue biscuits with like a almost like a jam filling, I think you describe it.
It kind of looks like that pink goo stuff that you get in fast food restaurants, you know, how they make the meat through the pink goo.
Oh, this is good training then for you, though.
I assume I'll be working with a lot of pink goo in the future. And these are supposed to be fancy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, like, if I was doing that, I mean, they do look quite nice. I like the smoothness of the biscuit.
Yeah? You like that?
Yeah, do you not like smooth foods?
No. Something kind of automatically unnatural about
that
smooth
is true.
Food.
Yeah, that is true. Well, apples? I'm not going to go through I'm not going to get into what all the smooth foods are and seeing whether you like them or not. So let's just move on from that.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to give it a try.
It's like going through all the different stages of grief.
It's a bit more complex than I was expecting, to be honest.
Yeah.
And not as bad as I was expecting. I was really quite fearful.
I feel like I've just read a book, but with my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I like that.
There are several different chapters.
Yeah, yeah. Because immediately I was like, wow, a lot of sugar. Mm. Then I was getting some of the kind of the strawberry flavor. I think my tongue's gone a little bit numb.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But then I was definitely getting kind of like the almond flavor from the biscuit.
Are we about to get really serious food poisoning?
I hope this isn't the day where I find out I'm deathly allergic to something. I'm definitely getting a tingling on my tongue, which I don't think you're meant to get from macarons. You struggling with that one?
It's really intense. I know what you mean about the tingling, like the last chapter of the food book.
Yeah.
It's like this weird sort of almost tingly sensation.
Yeah, what's that about? That's weird. Mm. This is a complex biscuit. I thought this was just going to be a big smash of sugar in the mouth and be like, oh, yep, two. But I don't know.
It's a good example of how things that are complex can also be bad.
Yeah,
you can have different complexities of bad, different shades of wrong.
Yeah, you can have beige bad, or you can have a multicolored rainbow of bad.
Often when we say something has depth, it's meant as a compliment, but not necessarily the case.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, the ocean has depth and it's, you know, it'll kill you.
A person can be an absolute shit, but for a variety of interesting reasons.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Feels like you're more positive about it than I am.
I think because my expectations were so absolutely rock bottom low.
Make sure you get all that mastication directly into the mic.
Yeah, I know it's part of the experience for a lot of people. It's like the sound of saliva and teeth and everything they like. I don't hate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is sweet. Yeah. The flavor is definitely unnatural, except for the almond at the end. There's a definite almond taste.
And the tingling doesn't bother you anymore?
Kind of getting used to that now. Except this is part of the trip, part of the macaron trip. So, you know, let's just ride it out.
I'm feeling it as well. So, unless we are both deathly allergic to whatever is in this, that'd be quite a coincidence.
It would be. That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
I guess the only issue is it's three different flavors.
That's true.
So how are we judging it? Are we judging them separately or as one?
I think we got to just judge it as one, which sounds a bit strange. But I think if we try and have a bite of all three now, given the tingliness and the sweetness, I think the show could end very quickly. So I think we'll just have to use one as being like an exemplar for its species.
I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it.
Okay.
It's a very complex flavor. There's a lot of different stages to it. It's almost like you taste each ingredient one after the other. Yeah. I think just having that, I'm fine. I'm fine now.
Mm.
If I had to eat more than that,
which you will,
I would probably get quite sick quite quickly.
Yeah.
But just judging it on taste on that one, I've had two bites of that.
Yeah.
Those two bites, I'm going to give it a two.
Okay.
It's fine.
It's edible. Yeah, it's not like the wafer sticks.
Yeah. And it's not edible. Disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fine right now. I didn't enjoy the experience, but I'm not harmed by it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think two is fair.
Okay. Well, I think two would be a good score, but obviously I'm on my way to a more aspirational occupation and lifestyle as well. And then the macaron is probably the most aspirational of biscuits. And I think if I gave it a really poor score, it would suggest that I was not ready for that lifestyle.
Right.
My actual score would probably be a two as well. But in terms of, you know, dressing for the job you want rather than the job you've got, I'm going to rate it for the job that I want rather than the job that I've got.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No.
Okay.
But carry on.
Okay. Well, basically, if/when I'm Pope, I'll be eating a lot of these. So, it'll just be natural.
Right. Yeah.
And on that basis, I'm going to give it a three because it's like, you know, this is good food to me.
Yes. And I suppose a three suggests this is sort of average for you.
Well, exactly.
Like,
you
eat a lot of these, which the Pope does just constantly. Like, that's all they're giving you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Just macarons and champagne, I think, the Pope drinks. So I'm going to give it a three. I will caveat though, if my tongue does swell up in the next hour, I'm downgrading it to a 2.5.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one would argue with that. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, not great scores for the taste, but maybe it'll do better on texture. It's a very interesting texture.
Yeah, interesting is...
Again, not necessarily a good thing. Depth, interesting, not necessarily good characteristics. But yeah, before we get there, some background.
Okay, yeah, probably a lot of background and history for the Macaron, I imagine.
Yeah, none on the actual, this particular brand. I couldn't find anything.
I think that's fine. I think we're talking about macarons in general.
Exactly, right? It's an institution, isn't it?
As we said, we've had them before, we've had fancier versions.
So yeah, so on Wikipedia, they're described as a sandwich cookie filled with a ganache, buttercream or jam. These are a jam filling, I'd say. Now, according to legend, it was introduced during the Renaissance by a chef of Queen Catherine de' Medici, but apparently they actually date back far longer.
Okay.
During the wedding of Louis XIV in 1660, macarons were the only food served to guests. Which I guess was probably definitely a display of wealth and power, but one of those times where they're probably like, you know what, I wish the Burger King would come with some of his ham discs.
I mean, presumably they had a main meal as well.
No, it just said that from what I've read, it's just macarons. So I didn't know whether they served like three courses and the first course like macarons. Like, oh, that's interesting. This seemed like a sweet as the kind of starter. It's like, well, it's quite tasty. Then the main comes out and it's a plate of like four times as many macarons. Like, oh, okay.
Do you think it would be a large quantity of macarons or just one big macaron on the plate and you have a knife and fork?
I reckon they'd probably be substantial macarons. Mm. I think just to serve a plate of 20 small macarons is insane.
Yeah.
I think to serve a plate of four large macarons is much more sensible.
That's much reasonable, more reasonable.
Yeah. That's what I do anyway. I mean, it's helpful to know this because when when there's the conclave and I'm appointed Pope and people ask me, okay, what food you're going to have at your Pope do? You're poping,
yeah.
And they'll probably be sniggering and be like, he's not going to know what to do. He's probably going to go and call it the Burger King and ask some ham discs. And I'll be like, macarons. And they're like, what? Yeah, macarons. Three courses of macarons, and then be like, shit, okay, wow, sorry, Pope, and they'll bow down to me then.
That's a proper mic drop moment, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. And they're like, wow, he is the chosen one.
The chosen one, yeah.
So yeah, so in 1790s, sometime in the 1790s, they gained fame when two French nuns seeking asylum during the French Revolution baked and sold the cookies in order to pay for housing. So that could have been a costume as well, could have come as a nun. Not as aspirational, though, as the Pope, is it?
No, and just to be clear, you're aiming for the stars, but you're expecting to land on the moon.
No, I'm expecting to land on the stars.
But you're not... Right. You're dressing for Pope.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know that you're not going to be the Pope.
Well, no, I don't know that. That's what I've cosmically ordered. Okay. Pope. I've cosmically ordered one Pope for me, please.
And that's how it works. It's kind of like a cosmic delivery service.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, it might be the case. I don't think it will be, but it might be the case. A bit like when you do an online shop and you're like, oh, I want a courgette. And they're like, sorry, we ran out of courgettes. Do you want some washing up detergent instead?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You're like, that's not a very good replacement, but I do need it. So, yeah, I'll take it.
Right.
So, yeah, so maybe the online delivery system and the cosmic ordering superstore would be like, sorry, out of popes, will you take cardinal? And I'd be like, yes, I will.
I guess in my head it was that you were aspiring to Pope as something to shoot for, just so that you had a goal.
Well, no, it's absolutely attainable, because I think the problem with Jesus is...
The problem with Jesus is, and go.
One of the problems with Jesus is
right.
You're kind of born into it, you know? It's not a meritocracy, it's nepotism.
Right, yeah.
He's the original Nepo baby, basically. Yeah. Okay?
Yes.
So, and also, similarly, with kings, I know with the Burger King, it's a different system. It's it's a strange kind of elected king, which is quite unusual. Most monarchies, again, it's hereditary.
Yeah.
Pope, on the other hand, you don't have to be born into it. You can just be, you know, a regular Joe.
Is this something you've sort of brought with you from last episode?
That
American aspiration thing?
Exactly, yeah. Kind of, yeah, you know, you can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
Other than Jesus or the king.
Is the suggestion then that the Pope is kind of a bit new money?
Yeah, I suppose he is compared to Jesus.
Mm.
Mm. And also probably a lot of kings as well. I mean, I don't know how far back the Burger King lineage goes.
Right.
Probably back to the old kings, I guess.
I mean, isn't the British monarchy descended from a bastard?
Probably, yeah, at some point, yeah.
So was it William the Conqueror, like someone who was not going to be king unless he took action?
Yeah.
And built his kingship from, Conquest.
Yeah, so I think it might have been William the Conqueror. So you're kind of modeling yourself on William the Conqueror.
Yeah, but I feel like my goals are a bit more obtainable, right? So I'm using these great figures of history as intended, which is role models, and I'm using that to get a job at Burger King, right?
Right, okay. Where,
which I think is a much more kind of sensible down to earth route to take, whereas what you're saying is that you think you could be Pope someday.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I would say, my friend, because I want you to get this job because I'm going to need your armies at some point.
Yeah.
Do not go into this job interview and they're like, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Store manager. I see myself as store manager of this Burger King.
Do not say that.
Right.
Say, I see myself leading the troops to retake the French throne.
And that's your advice.
That's my advice to you. And you can say to them, you know what? Maybe I won't be the actual Burger King at that time. Maybe I'm just the commander of his forces.
Yeah.
But they'll get the message. They're like, this is a guy on the move. Don't put limits on yourself, you know?
I don't want you to think I'm not taking everything you're saying on board. I am. Yes. I am going to take this stuff with me.
And you're going to use it in the interview as well. If you want the job, you know, maybe you're just a time
I do
waster.
Want the job. I do really need this job.
Okay, right.
Because I am doing a few other jobs at the moment, but I need this.
The good thing about this is it has career progression as well.
Yeah. There's one job in particular that I'm in. It feels like I'm stuck in limbo, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
Sometimes though it's about perception, isn't it? You know, it's a bit like, you know, you can't see the forest for the tree sort of thing.
Yeah, and sometimes you just want to burn that forest down.
Yeah, well, you know, don't be too hasty.
Because then you can see far and wide, can't you? Because there's no trees getting in the way.
So yeah, so just returning to macarons then, probably the most expensive style of biscuit, as we know, the most expensive macaron ever sold was $7,400.
What?
Didn't even look at what was on it. I didn't care. It's probably just gold leaf or some shit. I just didn't care.
I hate that so much. You see that all the time, boring. Don't you? Where they're like, this is the most expensive burger you've ever eaten. And it's just got some gold leaf on
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. With a fucking 99% markup on it. Like, yeah. Okay, well, yeah, should we...
So is that all the history?
That's all the history, yeah. I mean, there's loads of history, but that was the most interesting bits.
Wow.
You don't want to get into the disputes about which cookery book first had macarons. It's very boring. Mm-hmm. This is the thing about kind of the cosmic ordering, and I think the path that I'm on and you're on, don't want to get too caught up in the history.
Yeah, which we've learned from last episode. Yeah. Things go so much better without getting bogged down.
When you haven't got the baggage of history. Yeah. And that'll be my one of my pitches to the conclave, aside from let's get the counter-reformation going again. Mm-hmm. Let's not get bogged down by the past. Because they'll probably want to quiz me, like, oh, what do you think about the Councillor Trent? And I'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are you talking about stuff from hundreds of years ago? Okay. And yeah. I'll be like, what do you guys think about the blockchain?
I am curious to know what they think about the blockchain.
Yeah, me too.
Would you start doing Pope NFTs?
Yeah, I think there's a big, big market for Pope NFTs. Yeah, like I said, we have Innocent III, Alexander VI. You can own like a picture of them or something, I don't know. Coins as well.
Pope coin. There is already quite a lot of merchandise, isn't there?
Yeah, but how much of that are they controlling? That's the problem, you know. How much of that is just, you know, counterfeit Pope merchandise? I think this is the other thing. And if you go into them being like, okay, guys, you've got fantastic IP here.
Yeah.
You've like got the whole extended universe of popes.
Yeah.
You know, many interesting characters. I can see spin-offs, you know.
Pope
origin stories, Pope kids.
yeah.
Where it's like, you know, they're popes, but they're kids solving mysteries or something. I don't know what the Pope does.
You know, yeah, you got it. He solves mysteries.
Day to day. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Okay. So they're going to be like, what are your plans? Counter-reformation, number one. Number two, blockchain, branching off that, NFTs, crypto, Pope coins. Third pillar, let's exploit the IP, movies, TV shows, merchandise.
It's ridiculous that they're sitting on this brand and they're not doing anything with it. And we know that the counterfeiters are.
Exactly. You know,
so someone's getting rich.
Someone's making money off the face of, you know, John
Might
Paul
as well
II.
Be you.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Let's reclaim it. And also, great opportunity for crossovers as well. You've got the other Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Islam. Yeah. We can perhaps do like, you know, a Buddhism crossover as well. Then you get into sort of like the Asian market. So we can really go big with this. This could be bigger than Star Wars.
You could do a sort of Pokemon thing, couldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Pokemon,
that's good actually. Yeah. Yeah, and they collect the different popes and they all got different powers. So, you know, Alexander VI is really good at having illegitimate children with mistresses and raising money.
And what is that? That's like 10 points to having illegitimate children.
I guess perhaps the illegitimate children act as like little minions who do it's like a low level attack, but there's lots of them, so it takes off a lot of HP.
Great.
So yeah, should we do the texture of the macarons?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, which one are you going for?
Green?
Green, okay. Green next. Green for go. Oh, wait.
What?
Do we need a cup of tea to go with these?
Oh, yeah. Of course we do. What are we doing?
God.
cup of tea.
Lovely. Thank you very much. And yes, onto the texture and dunkability. So good bit of resistance when you first go to bite in it, like the crust of the macaron, good resistance. And then it's just like almost like foam.
Yeah.
Not like an edible foam, like the foam you might get in a cheap sofa.
I know what you mean about the initial bite. But it feels very wrong to me. It feels wrong in my mouth.
Yeah.
The jam in there as well. Mm. It's not even really jam. It's closer to slime. Again, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's very complicated. It's very interesting.
And I say it's on the texture side, that's definitely not good complicated.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a dunk.
Okay.
See how it dunks.
All right. I tell you what you do get with the dunk. Mm. You get the almond.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, no. Oh, some of my green. Some of the green's gone in my tea.
Oh, no. That'll just sort of congeal at the bottom now, won't it?
I mean, yeah, you get a lot more of the almond. It doesn't really do much to the texture, which is weird, because I thought it'd be like a sponge, just a weird foamy inside, just sucking up the tea.
It's got that hard bit on the outside that's almost like a waterproof varnish.
Yeah, but got it opened up now and dunked it. The inner part still didn't suck it up. That looks really unpleasant there. Usually, you know, a bit of biscuit and tea is not ideal, but it's usually not that off-putting. I don't really want to drink this anymore because I just got little bits of green crumb in my tea.
But what are you going to do, not drink your tea?
I know, I wasn't going to drink it.
This is interesting because every element of the macaron is specifically designed to not be dunked, I think, is the thing. And when you try to dunk it, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's like trying to dunk a cake. You just can't do it.
It's not designed for dunking at all. So I think like on its, you know, without the dunking, yeah, it's an interesting texture. So you've got the resistance of the hard like outer and then it's kind of like the soft inner and then you've got the squidgy slime. Interesting textures, you know, hard, soft, squidge. Mm. Not complimentary in my book, but maybe it's just these particular macarons.
But the thing is, I am going to give it extra points for being interesting. Is that wrong? Is it wrong to do that? I don't know.
No, I think
I don't necessarily like it, but just by being interesting, it kind of earns my respect.
Exactly,
more.
It stands out. It does. Yeah. It is memorable. I'll say that, yeah. And that's going to be important for your interview later on. You need to be memorable.
I need to make a good impression.
Yeah, you need to stick in their minds because when they're reviewing like all the interviews, you know, it's like, oh god, we've interviewed like 40 people today.
Yeah,
what can we do to make you stand out so that you really stick in their minds and they don't forget you?
Should I have a flourish, or should I come in? Should I walk in a certain way? Should I announce myself in a certain way when I enter the room?
Can you do a cartwheel?
Theoretically,
you could try.
I could definitely try.
You get points for trying, and it would stick in their mind as well.
Yeah, maybe if I had like some kind of phrase when I came into the room as well, like "Long live the king." That's good, isn't it?
That's a good one.
Yeah,
the king is dead. Long live the king.
That wouldn't be in poor taste, would it?
Yeah, they might still have loyalty to their current ruler, and you wouldn't want to kind of, you know.
I don't want to step on any toes.
You don't know how close these people are.
If I say "Long live the king,"
could be either way.
Could be, right?
You know,
I could be talking about myself. Could be talking about the current Burger monarch.
Exactly. And then the Council of Elders, they'll independently, some of them be like, great, he supports the current king. The others will be like, great, he wants to get rid of the current king and replace him with himself.
So the thing is, I want to give it an extra point for being interesting. So I want to give it a 3.
Yeah, okay.
Right? 3 suggests that it's good, which is not. Mm. But I don't want to give it a 2.5 because that suggests that it's middle of the road average. It's not that.
Yeah. Kind of confusing for people though, isn't it? For people who are going to consult the IWGBRP database.
Yeah. They'll be looking at it like, oh, 3 for dunking. It must be a good dunker.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not.
Ah, man.
It's tricky.
Okay. I've talked myself out of it. I wanted to give it points for being interesting.
Yeah.
But I have a responsibility to our listeners.
To the macaron buying public.
And so it has to be a 2.
Okay. All right.
It's not impossible to dunk this thing.
Yeah.
But you're not going to have a good time.
No, you're not. Yeah. It can physically be dunked, but it doesn't improve it. Makes it a little bit worse in some ways, perhaps?
A little. But interestingly, it makes it worse on your hands, holding it, because it all sort of falls apart. But eating it doesn't really change at all.
Yeah, that's true.
So the taste remains the same, which is why I haven't scored it lower.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm also going to give it a 2. I just want to make clear, I'm not saying that macarons in general, the texture is bad. I'm just saying these particular ones are bad. I expect to have much finer macarons, which would be very exciting, interesting texture, but in a good way.
Well, you got to know your worth.
Well, exactly, yeah.
If people were to give you these macarons, you should turn them away.
Well, exactly. This could be one of my early papal tests. It's day one of Pope life, and one of my minions comes in. He's like, got you some macarons, Pope. And what they're actually doing, they're testing. It's like, okay, how does he respond to these absolute shit macarons he bought off Amazon? Mm-hmm. And be like, ha, huh, disgusting. Death to you. What? And then the whole court like, wow.
Wait, no, did you say death to you?
Yeah.
I don't think the Pope can do that.
Yeah, he can. I don't think he's kind of like God's representative on earth.
Right.
Papal infallibility and all that. And also, they respect that as well. They're like, he's a man of judgment, you know, harsh but fair, they'll say.
Would they say fair? They would say harsh. Would they say the fair part? I'm not sure.
Out of fear, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I'm perhaps also a bit of love.
But we're just chatting here. We're just having a laugh, aren't we?
Yeah, we're just having a laugh.
We're just having a laugh.
We're just having a laugh. Yeah.
Because like when I talk about working at Burger King, I'm talking about getting a job at Burger King and then hopefully rising to the position of manager.
Yeah.
The way that you talk about it, like, you know, in terms of soldiers and forces. We're saying the same thing, but you're being
exactly
more colourful
the same
with your
thing.
Language.
No, it's exactly the same thing. Okay. Exactly the same. So yeah, not a great first two rounds for the Madeleine de Pauline, but maybe it can come back swinging in the biscuitness round. But before we get there, let's see what other people think of the macarons.
Yes. Favorite part of the show.
The pictures on Amazon look much better, partly because they've just like got a big picture of the macaron and then put the fruit next to it. So there's a big strawberry next to it. So they're like, oh, right, that's what it's meant to be.
Yeah, they look way better in those pictures than they do IRL.
Yeah, it doesn't look like slime in the middle. It does look like a ham.
Bad every time.
Yeah. Yeah, so 237 reviews, quite a lot, but only 3.3 out of 5. That's not good.
Ooh,
that's not good.
That might be the lowest rated.
I think it could be. Yeah. It could be.
People generally just score things high, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. There is that kind of idea of like 4 stars is average.
Yeah. You ain't got no time for, you know, 3-star experiences.
But I think the issue is that people are reviewing everything as if it's almost perfect.
Well, I mean, maybe that's cosmic ordering. If you rate things higher than they deserve to be, they are that good and you'll get that experience.
Aspirational. Rate the product for the product you want, not the product it is.
And if you do that, your brain will sort of tell you, actually, I really like this.
Exactly.
Like when you buy something expensive, you enjoy it more.
Exactly, yeah, because the possibility that you paid a lot of money for something which isn't very good is just absolutely crushing.
Yeah.
So you just got to enjoy it no matter what. Mm-hmm. We got one question and answer. Question, do they make these in purple? Answer from House of Chocolate. Hi, these are pre-packed with these colors. I have never seen purple.
I mean, what would purple be?
What is purple?
What's purple? Like, we know that pink is strawberry, green is pistachio, yellow is...
sand.
Yellow is sand.
Yeah.
What would purple be?
Aubergine. A nice aubergine cream filling. So the top review from the UK, from Kate, gives it 3 stars. Head of the review, fine. These macarons, what you would expect for the price. They are fine, not the most taste, and a little perfumey, but understandable, low quality for the low price. I'm not that cheap. These were like £6.50. Right. You only get 6. So you're talking about like a quid.
Low quality for the low price, four, and the bit that she hasn't said, for the low class.
For the low class, exactly. So Kate, future potential Pope there. Yeah. She's clearly like put herself well above the macarons. Sue Bridge, on the other hand, 5 stars. So much flavor. I've eaten many macarons in my life. I'm positively addicted to them and have gone as far as to have these delivered direct from France. They're not coming from France. See, you're a moron.
You don't call Sue a moron.
Come on, Sue. Like, I mean, just read the packaging. It says produced in Belgium, for Christ's sake.
I've worried that this power is going to your head. It's the hat. The hat is going to your head.
It's quite hot.
Yeah.
I think it might be cooking my head.
You're like talking down to people like Sue. Like, they're beneath you.
I need to have a certain elevated level. I can still walk with the common man,
right,
but I recognize that he's an idiot.
Okay,
you know, that's fine. You sure. know, I can honestly say that I've never tasted macarons as good as these. Honestly, really, honestly, Sue, really.
For the listeners, I would like it known that I'm laughing at my colleague's expression, not at Sue's comment.
The best you've ever tasted, and you've had many. I just can't see. I don't believe you. You're either an idiot or you're a liar. In the new regime, Sue wants to put in a place where she can't do any damage. So maybe just be a idiot.
So hang on. So new regime. How much sort of control does the Pope actually have?
No, this is more for you. I'll be in Vatican. There's not going to be anyone like Sue in the Vatican. Okay.
Right.
Like, or even the guys like, you know, mopping the floors or whatever. You know. they're top class people. Right. Whereas you're going to be trolling a large kingdom, a lot of people.
By which we mean I'll be manager at the local Burger King.
You're going to be manager of yourself. Is that what you're saying?
Of
I don't understand.
The local Burger King.
The local locality.
I will be the local Burger King.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And local being a part of Southern Europe.
Yeah.
Where there's a Catholic stronghold.
Are you going to be expecting me to be Catholic?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, that's just something you need to ask in the interview. Do I need to be Catholic to get this job? And when they say no, then you ask, okay, do I need to be Protestant to get this job? Okay.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Yeah, because I wasn't even going to bring up religion at the interview, but it's good to know.
Another one, C. Thompson, 4 stars. Absolutely delicious, but not worth £7. The only reason I did not give 5 stars was the price. I've never had a macaron before, and having seen them each for over a decade on Bake Off, they were firmly on my bucket list. Oh, God. I had an Amazon voucher from a family member as a birthday present, so I decided to treat myself to these. Otherwise, I never would have spent £7 on 6 biscuits. I think that's fair to say you would not spend £7 on 6 biscuits, but you're not really spending £7 on 6 biscuits. You're spending £7 on 6 macarons.
Yeah, and you're spending £7 to tick off something from your bucket list. And that is priceless.
Yeah.
Because that's an experience you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Exactly. When you're on your deathbed and you just going through the bucket list, being like, oh, macarons, that was a good one. That was a memorable one. No, actually, it wasn't entirely good, but it was memorable.
You know, I feel like we have a bit of more of an insight into their life. We're talking about bucket lists and stuff.
Exactly. Aspirations.
Yeah. I mean, that is literally aspirations, right? Because you have a certain amount of things that you aspire to do before you kick the bucket.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like having a little checklist for life, isn't it? You know, just turn your life into a little shopping list.
Yeah, a little game.
Yeah, tick things off. Get a point. Count out the points of the end of your life.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's got 1 point for, or she has got 1 point for macarons.
Would you ever make a bucket list?
I think probably will. Maybe for this job.
Ooh,
I think
times are ticking.
Well, you know, because like the Pope, you're Pope until you die, basically, until right.
That's the slogan, isn't it? Pope until you die.
Yeah. And so they're going to know, like, yeah, what are you going to do for your for your remaining decades on Earth?
Decades. Yeah. That would be if you became a Pope in sort of your younger years, I suppose.
No. I still got decades. I'm pretty sure. Again, it's going to be the same things. Counter-Reformation, let's get that going again. Exploring blockchain opportunities.
Yeah.
Capitalizing on the IP opportunities. And having a party where the only thing served is macarons. Mm. Okay, 1 star.
Oh.
Not worthwhile. Inedible. I would have 4 packs of these. Oof. As gifts and deeply regret it. I'd regret that. So wanted to post a warning. They give off a horrible chemical smell when you open the packet. All of the flavors are very artificial, especially strawberry. And the macaron itself is extremely dry and overbaked. They are similarly priced to fresh macarons, so I would in future never opt for these again. I want her in the Vatican. Mm-hmm. I want her being my food person. She's there, she's seeing quality, and she's not afraid to say that. So that is dog shit.
And is that what you would call them, the food person?
Yeah, food person.
You there, food person.
Yeah, yeah, food person. What have we got today? Macarons. Oh, more macarons. What a surprise.
Perfect. Yum.
You know, but she'd be like, she'd be on it. She wouldn't be getting me the bad ones off Amazon.
Great. Well, that was fun. So
yeah, so I think a lot of people, well, not a lot, unfortunately. You get some people like Sue who are clearly in some kind of delusional state, but it gives me confidence there are other people out there who can recognize quality still.
Yeah, it's a shame that Sue is in that delusional state. Would you recommend cosmic ordering?
I'd recommend an exorcism.
An exorcism?
Yeah.
That seems extreme.
This could be the work of demons.
I guess I forgot that the Pope kind of...
Yeah, kind of doing some of my magic shit as well.
Yeah, because I guess like it's easy to sort of get bogged down in all the kind of the day-to-day minutiae of being a Pope.
Exactly.
But
you
forget there's an element of magic involved, right, with like goblins and stuff.
Well, exactly, yeah. And I'll probably do that stuff in the afternoons when I got a better head space for thinking about, how we're going to fight the forces of evil with our various magic powers and our talismans and our various relics and stuff. So I'll save the morning for, like, HR complaints, meeting on diversity, like, okay, got a problem. All the cardinals are men. Don't see the problem. Meeting over. That's the diversity meeting dealt with.
Right.
And then after that, we can talk about perhaps, putting a swimming pool in the Vatican or something. Right. I already got one.
Yeah, important business.
And then in the afternoon, fighting the forces of evil with magic.
Yeah, have like bath time and then sort of around 2 or 3 o'clock, then you can have a look at the demon list.
The demon list, yeah, see how we're doing on that. And then I probably, after that, have a little tea and biscuit, which brings us neatly onto the biscuitness of this.
So, okay, so say you're having tea and biscuits in the afternoon. What are you visualizing?
Yeah, I'm kind of like on a chaise longue, you know, kind of just reclining back.
Right.
The food person is bringing me something. It's probably like a very small cup of tea, very fine tea. And I'll probably have one sip of that. And then after that, I'm probably going for the wine.
Yeah, of course.
So it's the wine. And I do feel like the macaron is better suited to like a glass of wine.
Yeah, it's an evening biscuit, isn't it?
It's one of the rare evening biscuits. And as we said, that's not really kind of the biscuitness that we look for, kind of returning to the platonic ideal of a biscuit. It's something you have at 3 o'clock in the afternoon where you're having a bit of a slump, bit of an existential crisis, and you just need not even like a pickup, just something to just break the monotony.
But that doesn't sound like it fits in with your aspirations of being a pope.
No, but that's okay though, because as pope, I'm not going to eat biscuits.
Right.
You know, these are for the little people out there, you know?
So in your mind, you're not eating biscuits, but you are eating macarons.
Yeah.
Ergo, if that means anything, macarons are not a biscuit, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it all kind of like proves itself, you know?
Right.
Is this too interesting and too complex for a biscuit? Taking the good and the bad out of it?
Yes. If we take morality out of it, which is Pope, you must.
Yeah.
There is too much going on for it to be biscuity.
It's an attention grabber, which is why Louis XIV served it at his wedding and nothing else. Mm-hmm. The platonic biscuit, the vision is you stood in your kitchen or you stood in the little kitchenette at work. You got your tea, PG tips, something very basic. Mm-hmm. You got your biscuit and you're thinking about, oh God, I got that issue with the roof. I need to get someone around to have a look at that.
Yeah.
Oh God, I got to go and query that thing on my credit card. Oh God, I got to try and get out of that event that I said yes to. And all the while you're just having bites of biscuit and it doesn't even register because you've got all the bad thoughts just rolling through your head, you know?
That's me at the Burger King offices, right? With my employees.
Yeah, the troops.
Probably trying to ignore them, trying to sort of just have a moment to myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I have that moment to myself, but unfortunately, I then remember all the other problems that I have going on in my life, and that sort of takes over, and then the biscuit sort of breaks that up.
Yeah, bit, right? Exactly, yeah.
You couldn't do that with a macaron. Not only could you not do that with a macaron, if you took out a macaron in that environment, all heads would turn.
Exactly,
everyone would be looking at you.
You put out any other biscuit, no comment. You put out a macaron, oh, what's that? Where'd you get that from? Is it good?
That's fine.
You know, all of a sudden, it's the center of attention.
Ooh, someone's fancy.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. And then you get known as, Fancy David or something.
Yeah.
So,
and that's not the image that I'm trying to project.
No, you're much more of a strong man ruler.
Yes, good, you know, dependable David.
Iron fist and a velvet glove. Mm. So on that basis, it's a... Can I give it a zero?
No, I think you have to give it a one.
Okay.
I don't think you can give it a zero.
Okay.
It gets 1 point for being called a biscuit.
Okay, then, yeah, fine. I'll give it a one then.
Yeah, I'll give it a one as well.
Okay, all right.
So it's 3-2-1 for you and 2-2-1 for me.
Yes.
For scores. Pretty disappointingly low score to go out on. But
it makes you feel like a big man when you get a low score like that. Because it's like, I'm better than this,
that's
you know?
True. And it's good that we've done, you know, our part in warning people about these biscuit adjacent products.
Well, I think that's I feel much more prepared for my future position as Pope. I know how to deal with, you know, some of the things that are going to come my way, and I think you seem to be in a much better position now to go and become the Burger King than you did at the start of this.
Yeah, I guess at the beginning I was just going to go in and I imagine they would ask me about my availability and I would just say definitely, I can do any day, basically.
Well, you know, you do have this commitment.
No commitments at all. Very happy to do whatever's required of me. Mm. But now I think what I've learned is it's not enough to just dress for the job you want. You have to embody the costume.
Yeah.
So I guess I have to be more assertive, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I need to let them know that I can be the king. I can be the Burger King.
Yeah. On a part-time basis, though, because obviously you have this commitment.
Well... It's good to have a change, isn't it? I think that's the kind of the key takeaway.
Diversifying.
Yeah.
You know, and, which is like changing, but also staying the same as well.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to let things go, don't you?
No.
Yeah. Because, you know, we have been doing this a long time, haven't we?
Yeah, and it's going great. Yeah. So
It's good to end on a high as well.
If it's not broken, don't walk away from it.
It's been a wild ride. It's been really fun. It's over for me.
No, let's keep it going. You haven't got the job. And when you do get the job, it's just part-time, so you can do this as well on the side.
Oh, speaking of which, I think Yeah. we've been talking for so long. I've got to go now. It's a job interview.
No, I think actually, no, you know what? I think some of the advice I've given has not been good for you.
No,
I think
it'd
be a mistake to do this.
Advice is great. Yeah.
I think you will not pass the Council of Elders. I think they might throw this back in your face. And I think that'd be terrible for you mentally.
You've never been good at saying goodbye, have you?
That's because I'm not saying goodbye. Never say goodbye.
And you know, we'll stay in touch. You know, if I can fit it around my new job, you know, I'm sure we'll talk or we'll text. Anyway, I better run. A new, much better life awaits me. A brighter future.
You're not going to get the job, okay? You're not going to get it. You're wasting your time. You're setting yourself up for a fall. You're going to fail. You're a failure. I guess I'll overcome this because I can. I am Pope, and mentally I'm Pope already. I will be Pope in title as well, and that's okay. Popes can deal with setbacks even when their co-reviewers leave, so not a problem. He walks his path, I walk mine. It's no problem. I can cosmically order a better future. Don't let David get the job. You've been listening to the International Worldwide Global Biscuit Review Podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please take a moment to leave 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast platform of choice. You can also support the International Worldwide Global Biscuit Review Podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/definitelyhuman. I'm David Price. I'm on my own, and I'll be back next month to review Fortune Cookies. And remember, hope is not dead. Have a great month.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.